Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. In today's episode, it's going to be another companion episode to Weird World Adventures on Amazon Prime and Tubi. Today, we're going to discuss episode 3, and this one was pretty interesting. It's different, as you can tell, than a lot of the other episodes, because I filmed the pilot episode for Weird World Adventures, which wound up becoming episodes 1. And episodes 2, back in 2019. This one, we started filming after I partnered up with VidiSpace. So we were creating content that was going to come out onto the VidiSpace streaming platform. Unfortunately, it never quite made it on there because VidiSpace stopped producing content and showing content and streaming shortly after. And not just that, but this was actually shot like mid COVID, like full on during COVID, because everything was shut down. And I'm like, well, we should absolutely take this opportunity to film things that you can go travel and have an adventure for in your own backyard, things that are nearby that are weird that you don't have to hop on a plane for. So that, you know, part of the show is that I love the discovery of there's so many things nearby that, you know, you don't go to because you, when you travel, you go far away. And if anything, the pandemic taught me that there were so many cool places I could go to right in my own backyard. During 2020, me and my boss at the magazine that I work for at the time, you know, we went to several resorts that were 20 minutes out from Los Angeles that invited us out for like a staycation kind of thing. We went up to Mendocino County for the first time and had adventures up there. And it was wonderful. There are so many cool things you can see close to your home, you know, on a road trip. And that was kind of the essence of this episode, was to talk about that. Because, again, I think we filmed this in June or July of 2020. So it was right in the heart of the pandemic. And this is the only episode that doesn't just abruptly start with the theme. We wanted to try something new because, you know, we made a joke out of it. So it was like, I'm going crazy because it's COVID and I'm stuck in my own backyard. So I'm going nuts and I built a tent back here and I'm going to pretend like I'm in the jungle. So it was kind of, you know, a nice joke and nod to everything that was going on in the world. And okay, I'm stuck in. We're going to find something cool to do and we're going to film it. And it's going to be an episode of Weird World Adventures. And on a funny sidebar, this tent that's in this episode with me behind me is weird. We borrowed it from our friends Mickey and Heather, and it was their LARP tent. They were in a previous podcast episode talking about LARPing. And that tent was gross. It had so much trash and nasty things just left in it that they hadn't picked up. And I had to go in there for the filming and was like, this meshes with my OCD. But thank you, Mickey and Heather, for letting us use the tent. But this was another episode that we got up very early. There's never a lot of sleep involved when we're filming for Weird World. And I specifically, because this was all shot in a day in places over and around my house, I pretty much, and this tent stuff is the, you know, a lot of the text block. And I wound up like memorizing the entire episode worth of text. I mean, it was like at least a solid 20 pages of text. And basically, you know, saying it all. And I was actually impressed with myself how well that it all was, like how much settled in me and how easily it came out, because I have no idea how I did that. But it was all filmed in a day. And then we were going to do a recap of all of my favorite you know, adventures I've been on in the past, but the episode actually ran long, so we didn't do it this time. We saved that for later. And I think some of them are in other episodes, but most of that is just held on for later, so you'll have to wait. But I have a very long, long, long backlog of really cool footage from exciting personal trips that I went on that I can't wait to share with you guys in future episodes as little sidebars. So this, the Monroe Institute, we talk about them again because during 2020, one of the biggest journeys that I went on personally was a manifestation exercise that I did from home with the Monroe Institute. And it was all about kinetic energy affecting the things around you and how directing your energy and attention at specific goals can help you manifest what you would like. And I like the way that it gets approached from a very scientific level. And then there's all this nice footage of me trying to do, trying to bend a spoon with my mind from, you know, COVID. And my hair is incredibly like pink because I had dyed it pink, which is interesting. So that's always, it's pinker here than it was in the segments of the first episode. So you can tell if something was filmed during 2020 because my hair was a very strange color. I like the science behind this because the exercises they gave us to bend spoons with our mind and to, you know, like show how your energy affects the world around you involved an exercise called growing seeds, where you had a control group of seeds and then you had one that you kept with you when you meditated, but you didn't touch it. And then you had a group of seeds you meditated with every day and you watered them at the same times and they were put in the same type of environment aside from that. And the ones that I held in my hand grew into like grass. I mean, they were wheatgrass seeds and it flourished. Whereas the ones that meditated, that were next to me when I meditated, grew a little bit, but not a lot. And then the control group barely grew at all. That was interesting. I like that. I would do more with that. And then this is kind of where I got big into the idea of manifestation. And I know a lot of people don't believe in manifestation. I know that it gets taken sometimes to these supernatural levels. But what I will say about manifestation overall is that whether or not you believe in the spirituality of it, it does get you to focus on what you want and it does hold you accountable in working towards it. Because if I meditate on the idea of I want to take a trip to China every day, then I'm going to start seeing the opportunities where that might arise in my life. And I'm going to focus more on it because it's on my mind. It's going to be something I more actively work towards because it is on my mind all the time. So, you know, if nothing else, treating manifestation like it is a focusing of your goals and a scheduling of what you want in the world and a structuring of, you know, prioritizing the things that matter to you, that's the key value that I take away from it. Because it does encourage and force you to really commit to the things that you want in life. And then the more energy you direct toward it, the more benefit you're going to see. So it really, like, a lot of my meditation journey since then, a lot of my writing with Meditation for Monroe has been about that. Manifestation and where we direct our energy. And I think it's something that's very important to follow up with. So anyway, that's my sidebar on that. But I was very much into learning about that in 2020 and COVID. And so that exercise from the Monroe Institute that I featured in the third episode was from that. It was literally actually from that sync creation exercise at the Monroe Institute. But it was also, you know, a conglomeration of where my interest lied at that time. And I think being stuck at home during COVID, it was important to have focuses and goals and things that we wanted to bring into our lives. Otherwise, we're going crazy. So that was a primary focus for me at that time. Then I believe we went to the CIA, which is the California Institute of Abnormal Arts. Weirdly enough, it was in my backyard. It's in North Hollywood, California, and I didn't even know that it was there. I mean, it was something that I found out about later. And there is this wonderfully eccentric man who kind of reminded me of Mark Klein from the first episode, just a different type of Mark Klein. And Carl basically created this sideshow attraction with performers and a very strange collection museum of, like, oddities. He has several dead bodies on display and really just created this all-out eccentric place where people could go and watch strange performance art, watch sideshows, enjoy music, and see some weird stuff. And he himself is a very eccentric person. He's an actor. He played Jeffrey Dahmer in an old movie about it, which is wild. And was kind of, and like, very much is all into that weird vibe that would come accentuate that, if you will. And the thing that stood out, there's a couple things actually that stood out to me the most about him during our interview. And one of them was that his grandfather, great-grandfather, was the first person who ever took an actual photo of Bigfoot, Jerry Crew. So that was pretty cool. So he kind of had this tie-in to the cryptozoological world, which I thought was neat. Which also is just like a really interesting thing to say to people, right? And then we're having this interview, and he brings up that he used to be a mortician and how very not fun that was, which, I mean, I don't think anyone said it was fun, but he was saying a lot of times people say they want to be morticians and they really don't. And he said, and I mean, I will quote him here because I will never unhear it, that how I learned to sculpt was sculpting people's faces back after gun blasts. And yeah, that one, like, I mean, it hit deep. I think I react to it like, you can see my revolted reaction to it, like, in the scene. And one of my cameramen, like, gagged, like literally, like, gagged. And we were like, oh, no. Like, couldn't keep it in at that, because, I mean, that is just, that is a statement. So, I mean, you know what, though? That's what I love most about Weird World Adventures, because it started out with the idea that it would be featuring strange places. And then it very quickly became more about weird people living weird lives. And I will say, I say weird in the most lovingly wonderful way, because I'm a proud weirdo at heart. And there's nothing wrong with being the most eccentric and genuine version of yourself. And weird people should be celebrated. And so we kind of, you know, used this show as a way to celebrate people that live weird lives. And I mean, Carl Crew's story is just one of those things that really, you know, hammers that in. He used to be a mortician. He's a sculptor now, and he learned to sculpting dead bodies. He kind of took that into his strange future as he became a showman and opened his establishment, because there are a ton of dead bodies in his establishment. You know, Mark Klein over at Dinosaur Kingdom was an eccentric artist who had a story to tell about slimes and dinosaurs and Civil War soldiers, and dang it, he told it. So I like that it kind of became more about the people that we were featuring sometimes and less about the actual place. And that was important to me here, and Carl Crew really reminded me of that. And he showed us, you can see there was one dead body that, you know, people are just like, oh, you can just play grandpa, you know. So there's one dead body of an Asian man. There's another dead body of a jewel thief, a very small woman who was a jewel thief, who supposedly got caught in a jewel heist and got everybody high by spraying opium on them, and then would steal, you know, whatever it was she was trying to steal. And at the time, I believe it was a lotus jewel, he was saying, and that's what got her caught. And, you know, when you're watching him tell these stories, he acts them out. He's engaged. He is into them. And that's what made the CIA such an experience, was this man's dedication to telling this story and telling it well. And just like Mark Klein, he was such a good showman with it. He also had on display several things that were in Ripley's Believe It or Not. One of them was the body of the dead clown. I can't say his name without completely butchering it, but he was a French clown. I can't say his name without completely butchering it, but he's featured in Ripley's Believe It or Not. He was a man who wanted to be remembered for all time in his clown outfit, so he was buried dressed as the clown and just completely sealed off so he could be on display forever as a clown. His family gave him to Carl Crew, and they do a memorial for him every year, but this way he can be remembered for all time as a clown. Another thing that he had on display was a severed arm, and there was another great story behind that that he told us. But my favorite part about this arm is we come over, we film it, he tells us about it, he's giving the story, and he's like, after we've filmed it and we've done our thing, he's like, oh, I should tell you, it's cursed. So you can't really take any pictures of it, and if you do, you'll be cursed forever, but it's probably fine, you already did. And we're like, what? I'm sorry, what? And then my other camera guy was like, well, I'm not filming this. And kind of like, you know, just, well, screw that, and peaced out. But I mean, the damage was done at that point. Nothing horrible has happened, knock on wood, at this time from that. But that was a fun little like, oh, by the way, you're cursed now, but it's probably fine. I believe we put that in the trailer for the show because it was so ridiculous. Like, wait a minute, what just happened? He also had an array of other really strange and wild and exciting things that he showed us. So it was really just a fun episode overall. I had no idea that the California Institute of Abnormal Arts was in my backyard, but there it is. And yeah, it was definitely an adventure. And then after that, so we had our interview with Carl Crew. And then we wanted to kind of put together this like adventure, hike, weird, bizarre kind of segment that involved, you know, getting some action in there, being on the move. Because one of the things I talked to a producer shortly after filming the pilot episode of the show. And, you know, she was like, well, there's a lot of sitting for your show, you know, with it being a travel and adventure show when you do your interviews. And I'm like, you know, that's true. So I wanted this episode to not have any of those sit down interviews. So we had that nice fluid interview with Carl. And then I wanted to have like an adventure to find something. And the first thing that came to mind for me was the infamous spider pool, which was a strange backdrop for a lot of pinup shoots that was supposed to be part of this old Hollywood legend, Jack McDermott's house. And since his house had dissolved and crumbled away into the Hollywood Hills, but the spider pool was supposed to be at some weird, discreet location somewhere around there. I don't even remember exactly how we found it. I think I used Google Earth because I had been putting my eye on it for a long time. It was one of those things where you can't really get to it without having someone that lives in the neighborhood where it is help, which is how we kind of wound up getting there, was we got help from a neighbor and friend. And I found it through some kind of deduction, went down the Google Maps rabbit hole, and I actually found it on Google Earth and was like, well, that's definitely it. And so I got a couple of my friends that did a lot of adventure stuff, and we got this person that kind of helped us to know where it is and how to get there in like a legal way that wasn't like, you know, trespassing on people's stuff, because we definitely didn't want to do that or give any disrespect of any kind to the neighbors. So we climbed up, and let me tell you, that climb was like, it was like climbing a cliff. I mean, the hill was just eccentrically hard to climb up and just as frighteningly difficult to slide down, basically. And it was most definitely a very exciting and bizarre and interesting experience. It was very early in the morning on a weekend, I believe, when we went up there because, you know, again, we wanted to disturb as little people as possible. We didn't want to, like, you know, be filming and making noise in people's neighborhood because it's kind of like in a more residential area. And when we saw where it was and we talked to the people that would allow us to have access to it, we didn't want to bring up a whole team like we originally thought we might. So I just went with a videographer and our friend Cameron, who was a lot of fun filming this. And, oh, funny enough, this was great. So we saw a coyote at one point when we were adventuring around. And he just, oh my God, it's a coyote. And we were all very excited, way too excited to see a coyote. And Cam specifically goes, I've never seen one of those in the wild before. And at this point, I think we had gotten out of the car because we were looking at it. And there was like a soccer mom who was up on her balcony looking down at us, kind of watching all of this happen, who absolutely got a fabulous sass in on him, who was like, oh, yeah, this is the Wild. And it was pretty good. He got burned by this soccer mom who was watching and laughing at us. And, yeah, it was very exciting and cool to get to see a piece of iconic Hollywood history like that. Something bizarre, a little, you know, like mystery of our own to find this hidden piece of history. Just in the middle of civilization in the Hollywood Hills. And I will definitely say, don't try it on your own. You know, it's a very residential place and you don't want to trespass or get on anyone's properties or go places that you're not supposed to go. So if you don't have a friend that lives there at the property that can help let you through to it, then you definitely don't want to do it. It was a pretty cool situation overall to get to see it. I don't know why. I mean, Jack McDermott, let me take a second to talk about this. I talked about it in the episode, but this man, the reason that this pool is so bizarre and the reason that you want to find it is because he created this like weird, effectively like mystery house. It's very much like in the same spirits as the Winchester House. This guy, Jack McDermott, was a Hollywood producer back in the early age of Hollywood, I think in the 20s and 30s. And he took like sets from the movies and would utilize them in building this crazy wild mansion in the hills. He kind of was one of the first houses in the hills there and started that trend. And like he had props from The Mummy all throughout one of the rooms, so it looked like a tomb. He had, you know, dungeons. He had crawl spaces. There was weird, weird things connecting it all together. And one of the rooms that he had, he stapled all the furniture to the ceiling and then had the floor look like it was the ceiling. So he would host these elaborate Gatsby-style parties. And then when people would get drunk and pass out, he would drag them into that room so they would wake up terrified that they're, like, upside down. So, you know, he sounded like a really eccentrically strange and wonderful person that I totally would have been friends with. But unfortunately, I do believe he took his own life. Like, things obviously were a lot harder. You know, sometimes the people that party the most and act the most fun are the ones that are really suffering the most. And I think that was true with him. And eventually the house got torn down because it wasn't really built up to code. And I think a lot of it was him personally building this like strange, awkward house on his own with his own resources. And it wasn't to code. And it was very bizarre and very strange. And the rest of it's pretty much gone now. The only remains are the weird spider motif that sat at the back of his pool. And the pool is also not there anymore, but the tile spider in the background is. So that was, I mean, it's just this fun little strange story that's been spread around. I actually found out about the spider pool years ago because I think Holly Madison posted something from there and I was like, oh, well, that's cool. And then I went down the rabbit hole of that and was like, well, this would be a great segment for Weird World. We should go on a hunt to find it. And it was pretty much like a my Seven Gates of Guinea search that I'm going to do in the second season of Weird World Adventures, where, you know, there's seven gates to hell in New Orleans. And, you know, there's rumors about where they might be. And I kind of put together this whole epic map about how we were going to find it and how we were going to get through all these points. And it's very much like the first step towards that, where I was like, well, there's this really cool mystery. There's this really cool place that's shrouded in mystery and no one really knows where it is or how to get there or anything at all. So I'm going to find it and we're going to talk about it. And it's really just a little bit more of that. And again, Hollywood Hills, it was right in my own backyard during COVID when we couldn't travel anywhere else. So that's all for this episode of Weird World Adventures. I hope you guys are still watching along on Amazon Prime and Tubi and streaming. Next week, we're going to be talking about the fourth episode of Weird World Adventures, the TV show, here in our podcast. So I hope you tune in then. And until then, stay weird.